G'day and welcome to another episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. Lessons from lockdown is what we are discussing today and in this series. And I have with me a very good friend. And if any of you have read my book, Chasing Extreme, you will have heard a few stories about this friend of mine. I have on the line today and I'm chatting with Hannah Walsh, and she's also known as TT in my book, Chasing Extreme. Hannah, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's sunny here, and I'm excited to have a bit of a chat with you because we've been friends now for quite a few years, and we've worked together in different capacities, and we've done plenty of running together. So it's nice to sit down and chat with you and really sort of pick your brain a little bit into the lessons that you've learned from lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always start off these conversations with people who have had on in this series with, I want to give the listeners a bit of an idea of what your sort of living and working circumstances were like during the big lockdown period, so people can get an idea of who we're talking to and where their experience comes from. So can you give us a bit of an idea of what you do and what the circumstances you were in when we were in lockdown here in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in the running industry. I'm obviously a runner as well. I've been in the industry for kind of 8 years now. And the job that I do is I work for a company who are based up north. I live in the south, so I actually work remotely. So in all honesty, lockdown, the kind of the new circumstances that came as a result of lockdown were pretty normal to me. That's how I was working for the last 6 months before that. I work from home remotely.
Mm. And when we were, because obviously I do most of my work from home as well. And when we were, you know, forced into this severe lockdown that we had, where we, you know, go outside to buy food or one exercise session a day, did it change the way that you viewed your day now that the, because obviously when you were, before lockdown, you're working from home, so you were free to go and do whatever you wanted. But when we were told like we weren't allowed to go outside, did it change the way that you viewed your day, like when you got up each morning?
Yeah, I think for me, obviously, like I love being outside, and I try to have little breaks in my day. So I try and get outside in the morning, at lunchtime, and then again in the evening. So that time for me to get outside was really, obviously, it was quite special. And obviously, being only able to go out once a day, I had to really kind of think about, oh, do I want to go out for that walk in the morning, or do I want to save it for my kind of my training run in the evening? So I had to really, on the days that I did have a session to do, I still really enjoy getting out for a walk. So I kind of had to think, right, what can I do instead? And some days that was just going into the garden and having my cup of coffee in the garden and then going out for that run later on. So it did kind of make me think, how do I want to use that hour that I have to get outside?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really cool to sort of look at it from a bigger picture and how you're going to structure your day based around what you can do, what you want to do. And also, as you said, like if you have a training run planned in your diary, like when you can fulfill that. So how did you structure your day knowing that you couldn't just go out for those little breaks that, you know, a lot of people who work from home have, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 breaks a day? Well, I know I do, where I'll go and do a 10-minute outside walk or whatever. How did you structure your day knowing that, okay, I can only go out once a day, but to keep you refreshed, why not just sort of staring at the computer all day and getting stale by the afternoon and less productive? How did you structure your day to keep fresh, to keep energized and to stay productive?
So it took me a while. I think, like most people, I found the transition quite hard to begin with. So eventually I got into quite a nice routine, but I'd say, in all honesty, it probably did take me kind of well over a month to get into that. I kind of, in the mornings, I would, instead of going straight to the computer, which sometimes I would do that before, I would try and take about half an hour just to kind of have a little bit of time outside, whether that was reading or having my coffee, doing a little quick meditation. So I do that in the mornings and then come and sit at the desk. And then at lunchtimes, if I wasn't running, I try and do a little bit of strength stuff or just stretching, just something to get away from the screen, like you say, and just have that space, have that time to myself, even if it was 20 minutes or so. And then, yeah, and get back to the desk. And then in the evening, kind of transition into working to not working and just have, whether that was the run or whether it was going outside, having a bike ride together, just something to kind of say that this is the end of the working day and then moving into like relaxation in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important to sort of like, you know, I've said this pretty much, I think, on every episode of this series, where I found from people that I've spoken to and even companies who I've done talks with over this year and during the lockdown period, is there's two types of people. There's the people that actually look at this as they have a lot more free time and they can spend more time on themselves and doing things that they want to do because they don't have to commute and they're working from home, and you know, meetings seem to be lasting shorter because they're doing it and being more productive. But then you've got the other people who roll out of bed and go, wow, like I can get 5 extra hours of working today and I can be even more productive. And I definitely see these two types of people. And I've always said, it's very important to know that we're not supposed to work, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. It just can't be sustained. So I love that you know, as you said, you cut off that afternoon so you can have that relaxation time. What does that look like? What was your evening, you know, non-work relaxation that you did stereotypically during the lockdown period?
To be honest, it was just the same as normal, really, for me, either whether that was a run, getting out into the park. I live really close to one of the Royal Parks, so it's super flat, but it's nice, and it's a nice space to get outside in. So whether that was a walk or a run, and then normally a little bit of Netflix in the evening after dinner, a glass of wine, just kind of the usual everyday stuff for me. And that's pretty normal even before the lockdown.
So what were you watching on Netflix?
I think I watched pretty much everything on Netflix. I'd say my favorite and most recent, which is kind of post lockdown, has been the Eco Challenge. They did kind of that came back after it was out for a couple of years, so that's got me like super inspired to get back out racing again. But a lot of Scandinavian crime dramas, I think everything that is on Netflix in that category, I pretty much watched. Yeah.
Fair enough. So you mentioned before that you found the initial transition into lockdown quite difficult. What made it difficult? Why was it hard for you?
For me, I think it was hard because I obviously worked at home before, but since the start of lockdown, that meant the whole family was also at home. So my partner was also at home working in the office. So the two of us were in a tiny little office. It was kind of difficult to have meetings, trying to just both be in that space at the same time. I think before lockdown, I had the house to myself. And I was at home all day, so it was quite nice to have my own space, and then everyone would come back at 5-6 o'clock and then we would have that family time. Whereas through lockdown we were all in that shared space 24 hours a day, so it was just trying to keep on top of that and see how you can still get your own space while everyone is in that little bubble. I think that's the thing that I found quite challenging.
And how did you navigate through that challenging time?
For me, just getting into a really nice morning routine, I think, was probably the key one. So just making sure that I had some time in the morning to myself. Not being in the same office all day with the same person, just trying to switch it up. So whether that was moving into the garden when it was a nice day, just having a bit of a change of scenery, I think, it's rather than, yeah, just staring at the same screen.
Yeah, exactly. In the same location as well. Which can get a bit monotonous and boring, and then productivity levels can drop off. So apart from you know having not having the house to yourself, as you said, what was the toughest thing or a few tough things that you had to deal with, whether it was daily or even over the period of a couple of months of lockdown?
I think that probably the big one for me as well was not seeing family. My family are based in the UK, but they're a few hours drive away. So we did have kind of a couple of trips planned this year to go back up to see them. So obviously that wasn't possible. And my mum had her big birthday as well this year. So obviously that was celebrated remotely, which that's always, it's a little bit challenging. And it's a shame because my grandparents as well are up there. And again, I haven't seen them in kind of just under a year now. So I'm quite family orientated and I'm used to seeing family almost kind of monthly, I'd say. So I did find that part quite difficult.
Yeah, no, I can, I know exactly where you're coming from with that, with all my family being in Australia. So how did you stay connected? Did you stay connected during the time?
Yeah, we probably spoke more than ever. We actually had, I'm sure like many people, we had weekly Zoom games, Zoom bingo nights, Zoom everything, Zoom quizzes. So yeah, that was quite fun. I think that probably lasted for a couple of months and then quickly realized that I think doing that every week was, yeah, it was a lot of work. It was nice to see everyone, but I think at the same time when you have a lot going on to try and manage that every week was quite tough. But yeah, just keeping up to date on Zoom calls. Obviously my grandparents are not that technical, so it was just trying to make an effort to ring them a little bit more and speak to them.
Yeah, it's important. So you mentioned you're a runner and we've done countless hours side by side, putting one foot in front of the other. So how did you approach your training during, obviously we talked about how in the UK for several months we were, you know, you're allowed outside for 1 hour a day for one form of exercise. How, and obviously races had been cancelled and all the rest of it, but how did you approach your training during this period of time?
Yeah, so I think initially I always had a big race planned for June. So I was supposed to be going out to Italy in June to do 120 kilometer race out there. So obviously that was cancelled, which was a bit of a knock. And I think for me, I didn't, when lockdown kicked in, obviously I'm a runner. I quite like running out in the trails for a couple of hours. And I just didn't really feel like going out for that long at the time. And at the beginning of lockdown as well, I was following quite a structured program, and that kind of all went out of the window. And I just found myself waking up every day and just thinking, I just need to do what my body wants to do today. So whether that was an easy run, whether it was a bit of hip stuff in the garden, or whether it's just a bit of stretching or a walk, I just found that that was kind of the kindest thing to do, rather than say this is what I needed to do every day, because I knew that I just couldn't do that. I just wasn't feeling like that was what my body needed.
We've talked about this a lot over the years of, you know, listening to your body, and you know it's okay to go off your plan if you just feel like your body needs a bit of a rest, not because you're being lazy, but because you've been training hard and maybe you've had life stress as well. And yeah, it's really cool just to sort of hear someone else's take on how they approached their training over lockdown when basically everything was cancelled. But I think there's a lot of people who just try to do as much as they could, like, you know, short, sharp, high intensity things, because they felt like they needed to sort of keep some sort of not keep but increase their fitness over this period, rather than just listen to your body and keep moving. So that's really cool. Coming through now to, you know, we're not in any sort of the sort of like lockdown period at the moment. We are free to do what we want for now. How have you now transitioned from that period of where you're just listening to your body? Have you moved back into some sort of structured plan, or do you have things coming up? Or tell us how your training has transitioned to where you are now.
Yeah, so I've probably spent, I'd say, kind of 2 months listening to my body, and then I was quite keen to start getting back into having something to focus on. So I ended up booking on for, I've got a race in the beginning of November, just a 50k trail race. So I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, for the last, I'd say last 6 weeks now, I've been following the plan a bit more consistently. And I felt like I'm quite comfortable doing that. So it's been nice to have a bit more structure back in now. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out on the trails again, racing. Fingers crossed we can do still.
Exactly. And for all those non-runners who are listening, I know that Hannah just really cruisy put in there just a 50K. you know, for people who are non-runners or maybe, you know, do park run every weekend, yes, that was 50 kilometers longer than a marathon, an ultra marathon that she's just doing in a couple of months. So I just wanted to make sure that we didn't just gloss over that. Yes, it is 50Ks. She's a very good runner. She's been running long distances for a long period of time. And I know that she'll be fine, but I didn't want to just, you know, move past that without acknowledging that it is still 50Ks.
Yeah, I never actually ran a 50K. It's my first 50K. So, yeah, quite excited.
Yes, but we do know you've ran 100 miles before. But that's a whole nother conversation, that is. So what were some of the positives that you have taken out of lockdown?
I think the biggest one for me has been, for the last sort of 12 months now, I've been thinking about doing a bit of coaching. Obviously, we've been in touch now for a while now, and we've been running together. And at the start of like my running career, we obviously worked together. So I was really keen to start to like pass that knowledge on to women who were in similar circumstances to that I was kind of 5-6 years ago. So yeah, at the start of lockdown, I was kind of thinking about doing a little bit of coaching. And then I just kind of thought, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it. So yeah, I set up a coaching business probably a couple of months ago now. So still super new, but that's kind of a positive that has come out of lockdown.
That's really cool. And I'm really excited to, I think it's great because, you know, you had a lot of running experience in a very short period of time where you're doing, you know, 100K and 100 miles and mountain races and, you know, and we did a lot of runs together with a lot of other people in a group. And you know, we're always having conversations about running and training and nutrition and strength training, all the rest of it. And you've also done CrossFit for numerous years. So I feel like you have absorbed a lot of information from a lot of different sources, plus you have a lot of experience. And I think it's really exciting time for you where you are now looking to pass that on. And, you know, as you said, like you're looking for some women who may be marathon runners or half marathon runners who maybe have that block to take that step up to ultras. And, you know, you've lived it. You've got loads of experience. So I think it's going to be exciting. And I'm looking forward to watching you and your coaching career over the next few years. I think it's going to be exciting for yourself and for a lot of other people. So that's going to be good to watch.
Thank you. Yeah, really excited.
Good. So last couple of questions is, what did being in lockdown teach you about yourself personally? Because, you know, we had a lot of time, everyone really had a lot of time to spend in their own heads. And I feel like whether you tried to or you tried to not, there was always going to be this period of time where if we're willing, we can learn about ourselves and what's valuable and our values and things like this in our everyday life. So what did you take away from the period of lockdown that we're in about yourself personally?
I think for me, kind of feeds back into the coaching that I just mentioned. So kind of at the start of lockdown, I was probably spending, obviously I was doing the coaching alongside a 9-to-5 job. And I think it got me thinking that obviously we've got the time that we spend is not always on the things that we enjoy. So that was really one of my big things, just identifying kind of the values that I have and making sure that the work that I was doing was aligned with that. Because at the start of lockdown, I'd say that it wasn't. So it was making those changes to move forward and how I move from doing something that I didn't enjoy to doing something that I can enjoy doing. I think there's a lot of kind of, I don't know, perception around that as well, that people, they can't always enjoy what they're doing. So I think it's to build kind of a more of a life of different things that you enjoy is probably the one thing that I've taken out of lockdown.
That's living, right? Actually doing things that you enjoy in life.
Like, why waste your time doing things that you don't? I think there's only so much time that you have on here, and if you're planning to spend it not doing those things, then yes, it's not a lot of point, really.
No, exactly. And I think you're a prime example, and I give this when I do a lot of talks to entrepreneurs and in that sector. You're a prime example of you're not a full-time running coach. That's your side hustle. That's your side business. You work you work in the running industry, and you have a, you know, Monday to Friday job, right? And people say, I don't have time to, you know, fulfill my passion or to do something else because I've got this other job. But you're not saying, right, I'm not going to dive into being a full-time running coach. You're taking on a few clients here and there, and you're doing that on the side. And who knows, maybe in the future you'll be able to do that full-time if that's something that you want to do or not. But it's, you know, if you don't completely love what you do for the majority of your time, I always feel like it's very important to then, you know, work on something that you do enjoy doing on other times, but you're not actually at say work. So create a side hustle or do a side passion project, that I like to call it. And as I said, like, you're a prime example of you're doing this. And, you know, yes, you fill up your time by doing this as well. But if you enjoy this passion project on the side, then you're going to look forward to doing that and spending the hours in the evening or on your weekends or early morning before your work doing this. So I think, yeah, as I said, like, you're a great example of actually doing the things that you love to do, even though it's not what you do, you know, for your main job. So that's really cool. I want to finish up with asking you the lessons that you've learned from lockdown. So as we just talked about, you know, doing things that you'd like to do in your life, and you know, keeping to a structured plan, and make sure you have time that you switch off from work, and moving your body and listening to your body. How do you feel like you're going to be able to take these lessons into your future life? Like, do you view each day today differently to than what you did, say, at the start of the year? So how can you use the insights that you gained during lockdown to live, say, the rest of this year? Like, do you have a plan of how you can do that, or how does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, as I said, doing more of the things that I enjoy doing. And I think also for me, what I found it's really helpful to have that space. Whereas I think before lockdown, I felt like my diary was always full all of the time. Every weekend, I always had something going on. And it's nice during lockdown when all of that was taken away. And then you realize, you look ahead at the next few weekends and you thought, oh, actually, I don't have anything in the diary. It's just a nice feeling going into that weekend or into that day, knowing that it's not blocked up and you have that space in there for you, whatever that looks like. So yeah, I think going forward, definitely creating more space myself to do more of the things that I enjoy. And I think as well, just doing things that allow me to be a bit more creative. Because I think quite a few years ago, that was one thing that I felt like I spent a lot of time on. And then I think as we grow up, kind of, you lose a little bit of that. So yeah, just having a little bit more space for that, for going forward, and the coaching stuff as well, obviously, more space to help more women who have been in similar positions to me. I'm really excited about that going forward.
Nice. So if we do have anyone that's listening who is like, oh, you know, I'm a bit of a runner and I've always thought about doing a marathon or an ultra marathon or something like that, but oh, I could never do that. That's for real runners, not like me. And I know these are the conversations that many runners have. Where can people find you and get in touch with you and ask you about your services?
Absolutely. So you can either come on my site, which is hannahwalsh.co.uk, or I'm quite active on Instagram as well. And my handle is, just going to check that because I don't actually know what it is.
I will put it in the show notes, but tell everyone.
Yeah, so it is Hannah_Louise_Walsh_. So you'll find me over there. Mostly, and then you can also find me on Facebook, but yeah, Instagram and the site are the big ones to look at.
Cool. I'll make sure I put all of those into the show notes, and yeah, so people can come and check you out. And as I said, we have known each other for a very long time. We have shared many, many miles, very many, many stories as well. And I'm looking to share plenty more miles with you into the future, Hannah. And I just want to say I've got a lot of gratitude for you taking the time to come and talk to me. Have you got any final pieces of wisdom to share with the listeners of the Luke Slowdown podcast before we say our goodbyes?
What can I say? I think for me, yeah, just the big one is just do what you enjoy. And I think I tell that to a lot of my clients as well, that there's, and that's why I find a lot of women move over to the ultra and trail scene, just because they want to enjoy the running. So yeah, don't waste time on things that you don't enjoy. There's no time for that.
Love it. Absolutely perfect. All right. Thanks very much for coming on. And as I said, look forward to watching and supporting your little 50K in a couple of months, and then also your coaching career into the future. So thanks very much for coming on, H.
Amazing. Great to chat to you. Thank you.
No worries. All right, everyone. Thanks very much for listening in on this episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. I think Hannah is 100% right. Do what you enjoy, because life is too short not to. And if you don't know what you enjoy, if you don't know what your passion is, you know, a lot of people talk about finding your passion. If you don't know how to find your passion, well, it's really simple. Do more things. Continue to try and find things that you love to do, that you enjoy to do, and that you are passionate about. That's how you find your passion, actually doing things. So get out there, try new things, or pick up something that you used to like doing. And remember, life is too short to do things that you do not enjoy. If you have enjoyed this episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast, remember to share it, like it, leave a review. It really helps us to create this community and build it so we can get it in front of more eyes. And as always, everyone, drop over on social media and give me a thumbs up, say hello, and let me know what you thought of this podcast. All right, I'm going to leave it there for today. We are coming to a close of this series of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. We have just a couple more to go. And guess what? There may even be a bonus episode at the end, but you'll just have to listen in a few more weeks to find out what that is. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. And remember, keep smiling. We'll be right back.